L. Kennedy's The Score has captivated millions of readers with its perfect blend of steamy romance and emotional depth. This third installment in the wildly popular off-campus series has been praised by celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence, who called it the perfect escape read. The book's authentic portrayal of college relationships resonated so strongly with readers that it spent weeks on the New York Times bestseller list and has been translated into over 20 languages. What makes this campus romance particularly compelling is how it transforms the player meets good girl trope into something fresh and emotionally resonant, making readers root for a couple that begins as the most unlikely of matches. Allie Hayes finds herself nursing a broken heart after her fourth breakup with long-term boyfriend Sean, a cycle of reconciliation and separation that has defined her college years. Though tempted to remember his sweet moments, the surprise birthday parties, the comfort during her father's illness, the shared holiday traditions, she's determined to make this separation permanent. Her resolve wavers when she receives his sixth voicemail of the day, leading her best friend Hannah to implement drastic measures before leaving town for the weekend. Enter Dean De Laurentiis, Hannah's notorious roommate and Boston College's most celebrated player, whose reputation for casual hookups precedes him. Known for his wealthy background and devil-may-care attitude, Dean reluctantly agrees to babysit Allie while Hannah is away, expecting a night of melodrama and tears. When Allie vetoes his suggestions for action-packed blockbusters, insisting instead on watching an Oscar-winning drama about lost love, Dean takes matters into his own hands. He leads her to the building's rooftop garden, where he produces a carefully rolled joint and creates an environment where Allie finally feels safe enough to unburden herself. Their conversation reveals the fundamental impasse in her relationship with Sean. Allie's dreams of pursuing acting in Los Angeles clash dramatically with Sean's traditional vision of their future, a quaint Vermont life where she'd trade spotlights for spatulas. As Dean listens, offering surprisingly insightful commentary between smoke rings, the walls between them begin to crumble. The addition of tequila shots further dissolves their carefully maintained distance. Despite her initial resistance to Dean's flirtatious comments and knowing smirks, their chemistry becomes increasingly difficult to ignore. The sexual tension builds through subtle touches and loaded glances until it reaches an inevitable breaking point. When Dean finally kisses her, Allie's resistance melts away entirely. The next morning brings harsh reality as Allie wakes in Dean's bed, memories of their passionate night flooding back in vivid detail. Their explosive chemistry, something she'd never experienced with Sean, both thrills and terrifies her. Mortified by her impulsive behavior, she attempts to make a quick escape, planning to meet a friend for brunch and forget the entire incident. However, Dean proves surprisingly strategic, confiscating her phone under the guise of continuing his sponsor duties to prevent any weak-moment communications with Sean. "This isn't me," Allie insists repeatedly, pacing Dean's room in yesterday's clothes. "I don't do one-night stands. I'm not that girl." Dean's cocky response, that she won't be able to forget their encounter, comes with a knowing smile that suggests he's already planning their next meeting. His confidence only strengthens Allie's determination to put the night behind her, though vivid flashbacks of their electric connection make this resolution increasingly difficult to maintain. The way he'd looked at her, touched her, understood her, it all suggests that what happened between them was more than just a rebound encounter, despite her desperate attempts to label it as such. Dean De Laurentiis has always been irresistible to women. From grade school notes to high school makeout sessions to his current college reputation as a chick magnet, women have consistently fallen for his charm. Though unsurprised by Allie's attraction to him, her morning after disgust represents unfamiliar territory. At a bar with his hockey teammates, Dean finds himself distracted by thoughts of Allie. When his freshman teammate Hunter complains about their recent loss, Dean offers insightful hockey advice, revealing unexpected depth beneath his playboy exterior. Unlike his teammates who dream of going pro, Dean plans to follow family tradition by attending Harvard Law. That evening, during a phone conversation with Allie that begins innocently enough, Dean abruptly tells her he wants to sleep with her again. She hangs up on him, her heart pounding at his blunt proposition. Though their night together was incredible, she spent the day feeling ashamed, realizing she's not cut out for casual hookups. Unlike Dean, she craves relationships with emotional connection. The sexual tension between them continues to build through text messages and chance encounters. When Dean learns that Allie is upset after a call from her ex, he barges into her dorm room, immediately removing his shirt because he doesn't like shirts, and insists on cheering her up. Their conversation reveals deeper insights about each other. Dean passionately argues against slut-shaming when Allie expresses regret about their hookup, and he helps her realize that while she and Sean worked in college, they want fundamentally different futures. In a surprising turn, Dean becomes engrossed in Allie's guilty pleasure, a ridiculous French soap opera called Solange that she watches to improve her language skills. Despite initially mocking its melodramatic storylines and over-the-top acting, he finds himself genuinely invested in the convoluted plot involving Solange, her secretly returned mother Marie-Thérèse, who's had extensive plastic surgery to disguise herself, and a menacing stalker named Antoine, who may or not be Solange's long-lost twin brother. Their viewing sessions become a regular occurrence, with Dean bringing takeout and Allie supplying an endless stream of margaritas. As they work together to translate key French phrases and debate plot theories, Dean's carefully maintained facade begins to crack. He catches himself getting emotionally invested in whether Marie-Thérèse will reveal her true identity at the upcoming masked ball, and whether Antoine's mysterious connection to the vineyard will finally be explained. During one particularly intense episode, Dean dramatically throws himself onto her couch, declaring his man card as being permanently revoked for not only watching soap operas, but actually caring about the outcomes. "I'm drinking pink margaritas and yelling at the TV about masked balls," he groans, though his smile betrays his enjoyment. Their playful banter reveals a more vulnerable side to Dean than his typical womanizing persona suggests, one that enjoys simple pleasures and isn't afraid to look silly. When Allie questions whether this is all an elaborate act to seduce her again, Dean's usual smooth demeanor falters. He insists with unexpected earnestness that he's being genuine, that he actually enjoys their time together beyond any ulterior motives. The sexual tension between them grows palpable as Allie notices his shirtless torso, still damp from the shower, and Dean detects her quickened breathing and flushed cheeks. Their eyes lock, and the atmosphere shifts from playful to charged with possibility. Before things can escalate, Allie abruptly asks him to leave, cutting him off mid-sentence when he tries to express what he wants. The moment feels both unfinished and inevitable, leaving both of them aware that something has fundamentally shifted in their dynamic. "Stick with me, kid, and your entire life will change for the better," Dean tells her with characteristic confidence as he heads for the door, though there's a new note of sincerity in his voice. That's the De Laurentiis guarantee. His trademark smirk doesn't quite hide the vulnerability in his eyes, suggesting that perhaps he's not as in control of the situation or his feelings as he'd like to pretend. While organizing hockey equipment at Hastings Elementary for his mandatory volunteer coaching position, Dean encounters Dakota, a precocious 10-year-old whose direct questions catch him off guard. Her innocent curiosity about his life, from his favorite color to why he became a coach, leads to a revealing conversation about privilege and opportunity. When Dakota matter-of-factly explains that she's never learned to skate because her family could only afford lessons for her brother Robbie, Dean feels an uncomfortable awareness of his own privileged upbringing, complete with private coaching and top-tier equipment. The volunteer position, initially handed down as punishment from his former high school coach O'Shea, who now works at Brier University, transforms into something unexpectedly meaningful. Dean finds himself genuinely invested in coaching the Hurricanes youth hockey team alongside Doug Ellis, a veteran youth coach whose methods challenge Dean's preconceptions about teaching. The children's unbridled enthusiasm for the sport reminds Dean of his own early love for hockey, before rankings and scholarships complicated everything. He particularly admires Ellis's coaching philosophy, especially his practice of taking a moment with each player after practice to offer specific, personalized compliments, a technique that builds both skills and confidence. Dean's protective instincts surface when he learns that Robbie stays behind after practice because his mother can't pick him up until 4:30 due to her work schedule. Without hesitation, he volunteers to run extra drills with the boy during this time, recognizing an opportunity to make a difference. His involvement deepens when he offers to help Dakota with her Thanksgiving homework assignment, a family tree project that clearly troubles her. This nurturing side of Dean emerges naturally, standing in stark contrast to his carefully cultivated image as the carefree campus playboy. His academic life reveals additional layers of complexity. Following an engaging international relations lecture, where Dean's thoughtful questions surprise several classmates, he endures another confrontational encounter with Sabrina, a competitive pre-law student. She openly mocks his intelligence and suggests he must be paying others to complete his coursework, perpetuating the stereotype of the wealthy athlete skating by on privilege. When she brings up LSAT scores, clearly expecting to have the upper hand, Dean calmly reveals that he scored 2 points higher than she did, a fact that visibly rattles her. This moment exposes not only his hidden intellectual capabilities, but also his strategic restraint in choosing when to reveal his true abilities. His measured response demonstrates emotional intelligence that further contradicts his party boy reputation, suggesting that his public persona might be more carefully constructed than anyone realizes. After weeks of tension and several more passionate encounters, Allie and Dean have an important conversation about exclusivity. Though both acknowledge their relationship is just a fling, they agree to be monogamous for its duration. Dean realizes with some surprise that he hasn't thought about being with anyone else since Allie bulldozed her way into his bed. Their arrangement is tested when Hannah casually mentions to Allie that Dean is making out with another girl at a bar while celebrating a hockey victory. Despite their agreement to be exclusive just 2 days prior, Allie believes Dean has already broken his promise. Determined to show him exactly what he's missing, she arrives at Malone's in a revealing royal blue bandage dress. When Dean follows her to the alley behind the bar, he confronts her about her jealousy, explaining there's been a misunderstanding. The girl was actually hitting on him, but he rejected her advances. Their passionate reconciliation in the alley demonstrates the intensity of their connection, despite their attempts to keep things casual. The next challenge comes when Sean texts Sally, desperately wanting to talk. After successfully avoiding him for 2 weeks, she finally agrees to meet him at the coffee hut. To her horror, Sean produces an envelope containing 2 airline tickets to Los Angeles departing after graduation, a grand gesture showing he's now willing to support her dreams. Despite this, Allie firmly tells him no, they're broken up and she wants them both to move on. As their relationship deepens, Dean suggests driving Allie to New York for Thanksgiving, offering to stay at his Manhattan penthouse while she visits her father in Brooklyn. During the drive, they share details about their dating histories. Allie spent nearly 7 years in serious relationships, while Dean's longest was just over a year with Miranda, his high school coach's daughter. Dean reveals that their relationship ended badly after Miranda became clingy following their first sexual encounter, which he later discovered was her first time ever. After their breakup, Miranda stopped taking her depression medication, and her father, Coach O'Shea, blamed Dean entirely, even punching him once. This experience shaped Dean's approach to relationships, complete honesty about intentions, and no dating virgins or freshmen. When they arrive at Allie's Brooklyn brownstone, she surprises Dean by inviting him to Thanksgiving dinner with her father, who has multiple sclerosis. Despite Dean's reservations, he accepts her offer to join as a friend from school who didn't have anywhere else to go. The dinner proves challenging as Allie's father, Joe Hayes, dislikes Dean immediately. Throughout the meal, Mr. Hayes responds to everything about Dean with a condescending, "of course," clearly antagonized by his privileged background. After dinner, he confronts Dean privately, saying he doesn't trust him to take care of his daughter, believing Dean is incapable of handling real-world problems because of his wealthy upbringing. The couple's relationship faces its greatest test when Dean's friend and teammate Bo Maxwell dies in a car accident. Dean's grief manifests as self-destructive behavior, drinking heavily, using drugs, and emotionally withdrawing from Allie and his responsibilities. Though he continues performing academically and athletically, his emotional state deteriorates rapidly. When Dean misses Allie's plays opening night despite his promise to attend, choosing instead to party with football players and take ecstasy, she finally decides she can't stay with him anymore. In a heartbreaking confrontation, she tells him, "People die. It wrecks me that Bo is gone. It fucking wrecks me. But you can't just drink all the pain away." She reminds him that she's been cleaning up his messes, talking to Coach Ellis on his behalf, and comforting Dakota, who thinks Dean hates her. Through tears, she explains that while she understands grief, having watched her mother die of cancer, she refuses to enable his destructive coping. "I'm not going to stand by and watch you stick your head in a bottle because you're too afraid to face the pain. I'm done." This wake-up call, combined with being kicked off the hockey team after failing a drug test, finally forces Dean to confront his grief and behavior. He embarks on an apology spree, making amends with everyone he's hurt: Hannah, his teammates, Coach Ellis, the Hurricanes boys, Dakota, and even Bo's mother, Joanna. He even tracks down his ex-girlfriend Miranda to apologize for their past, finding closure as they briefly catch up. 3 days after leaving Dean, Allie meets him at the coffee hut. Though she forgives him for his behavior, she explains that she needs time alone. "I've never been alone, Dean, ever. It's always been one relationship after another with me." She needs space to figure out who she is independently while he deals with his grief. During their separation, both make significant decisions about their futures. When Allie's father has a minor accident, she calls Dean for help, and he spends the night ensuring Mr. Hayes is okay. This gesture earns him a small measure of approval from the previously hostile man. When they finally reunite, Dean presents Allie with plane tickets, not for himself to join her in LA for a potential TV role, but for her father. Unlike Sean, who wanted to follow her, Dean wants to enable her independence. However, Allie explains she's declining the role because it doesn't feel right for her career. Dean then reveals his own decision. He's pursuing a career as a gym teacher rather than following the family tradition of Harvard Law. He's spoken with his prep school coach about opportunities and found a position teaching PE and coaching girls' hockey at a Manhattan school. By cosmic coincidence, Allie has been offered a role in a cable show filming in New York City. As graduation approaches, they found their path forward together, not by compromising their individual dreams, but by supporting each other's authentic choices. Their relationship, which began with tequila and seemed destined to be nothing more than a hookup, has transformed into a partnership built on genuine understanding, respect, and love. "I love you," Dean tells Allie simply, the words no longer frightening for a man who once avoided emotional attachment at all costs. "I love you too," she responds, secure in the knowledge that they've both chosen each other freely without sacrificing their individual identities or dreams. What makes Allie and Dean's relationship work is their mutual respect for each other's independence and individual growth. Unlike Sean, who expected Allie to abandon her acting dreams for his vision of their future together in Chicago, Dean actively encourages her ambitions and helps her navigate career decisions. When faced with the possibility of a long-distance relationship due to Allie's potential role in a Los Angeles production, he doesn't pressure her to stay. Instead, he collaborates with her to find creative solutions that support both their goals while maintaining their connection. Their relationship demonstrates how partners can thrive by maintaining separate identities while building a strong foundation together. Dean discovers that his true calling isn't following his family's three-generation legal legacy, but nurturing young athletes and helping them develop both physical skills and mental resilience. His decision to pursue teaching and coaching, despite his father's disappointment, shows how the right partner can give you the courage to forge your own path. Similarly, Allie learns to make career decisions based on what feels right for her artistically, choosing challenging indie productions over commercially safe options rather than conforming to others' expectations of what success should look like. The novel challenges conventional romance tropes by showing that sometimes the person who seems least suitable, a notorious player with a reputation for avoiding commitment, might actually be the one who truly sees and supports your authentic self. Dean's transformation isn't about abandoning his personality entirely or changing who he fundamentally is, but about channeling his natural charisma and confidence into meaningful pursuits while learning to be vulnerable with someone he trusts. His journey from casual relationships to committed partnership illustrates how personal growth doesn't mean losing yourself. It means becoming a better version of who you already are. Their story emphasizes how successful relationships are built on a foundation of mutual support and understanding. Through their interactions with friends Noah and Elle, who struggle with similar challenges in their own relationship, Allie and Dean learn valuable lessons about communication, compromise, and the importance of maintaining individual friendships and interests outside the relationship. They demonstrate that love shouldn't feel like a cage or a sacrifice, but rather a partnership that enables both people to grow while remaining true to themselves. Perhaps the most powerful theme in The Score is the courage required to defy expectations and forge your own path. Dean faces significant pressure from his wealthy family to attend Harvard Law and follow the De Laurentiis tradition. His father, a prominent attorney, has mapped out Dean's entire future, from law school to partnership at the family firm. The weight of four generations of De Laurentiis lawyers bears down on his shoulders, making his decision to become a gym teacher instead a profound act of self-determination. This choice isn't merely about career selection. It represents Dean's first real step toward authentic self-expression and independence from his family's carefully constructed narrative. Similarly, Allie must navigate a complex web of competing pressures. Sean, her former partner, envisions her primarily as a future homemaker, reflecting dated expectations about women's roles. Her agent pushes her toward commercial roles that might advance her career but don't align with her artistic vision. Meanwhile, her father's deteriorating health creates guilt about pursuing opportunities away from home. Each of these pressures threatens to derail her dreams of becoming a serious dramatic actress. Her journey involves learning to make choices that honor her own needs and ambitions while still maintaining meaningful connections with those she loves, a delicate balance between personal fulfillment and family loyalty. Their relationship succeeds precisely because they create space for each other's authentic choices rather than imposing their own expectations. Dean supports Allie's acting ambitions without trying to redirect her career path, while Allie embraces Dean's passion for teaching and physical education despite its departure from his family's prestigious legal legacy. They demonstrate that true partnership means championing each other's dreams even when those dreams challenge societal norms or family traditions. In the end, The Score isn't just about finding love. It's about finding yourself and having the courage to live that truth, even when it defies convention. The novel explores how authentic relationships can only flourish when both partners are free to be themselves. Through Dean and Allie's story, we see that the most fulfilling relationships don't require compromise of our essential selves, but rather celebrate and support who we truly are and who we aspire to become. Their journey illustrates that real love doesn't ask us to shrink ourselves to fit someone else's expectations. Instead, it provides the foundation from which we can grow into our most authentic selves.